So, like I said at the beginning, we do have a speaker tonight, and it falls on me to introduce them. And this feels kind of special. This is our first speaker on since we moved, we swapped platforms. We've had a bit of a break because it was all crazy during the transition. I've known this lady for a while. I go to a meeting that she does service to that's based in the States. Over the last couple of years, I've seen and heard what she's had to share, and I've always enjoyed her enthusiasm and her commitment to recovery and what she has to say. So, without further ado, I'm going to introduce you to Valerie, who's come along to share her experience, strength, and hope with us for the next 40 or 45 minutes, whatever she is comfortable with. Experience, strength, and hope, journey two into and through Narcotics Anonymous. So, Valerie, the floor is yours, my darling. Please jump in and share with us, and welcome to the meeting. Thank you.
And thank you so much, Steve. What a way to go. The journey does continue. And I am Valerie, a grateful recovering addict.
Hi,
And I'd
Valerie.
Hi,
like
Valerie.
to
Welcome.
Hi, Valerie.
I would like to thank you guys for being here for me and Steve for having me to share with you guys. I'm in the United States. It's 12 something here in the afternoon, and I had chores and I was trying to beat it. I'm like, oh no, you're not going to stop me from sharing what was so freely given to me. See, my story is relapse, and I've been back because the journey do continue. I've been back 4 years and 2 days today, and I am so grateful. I've been in these rooms for over 22 years. I had 18 years. The last four, I did nothing, nothing. I just didn't pick up. I was pleasing my boss, my husband, and my children, and I didn't think of me. And when my sister overdosed on fentanyl in that same month, my brother of 31 years of addiction went into a sober living home and they couldn't wake him up. He was there a week. The sad part of it, here in the United States in Baltimore, Maryland, John Hopkins is one of the specialists in this country here in the United States, and they took his body. So I let that take me out. Little did I know it was a force of nature coming that I had no clue. It's called COVID. So someone willing it forward. Someone found me on the ground. I lost 2 or 3 days. I don't remember any of it. Then this thing hit a force of nature called COVID. So they shut down a certain part of the hospital. They were panic, and I'm a addict that they found on the street. So I go through detox. And from detox, I went to treatment. From treatment, I went to a sober living home, which in 2 months, they put me in charge of 11 women. 6 months, I completed and I moved in with my daughter. My daughter is building another home. So she left and gave me the home back. And, my grandson and granddaughter, they're fixtures. They have not left. Mind you, that was almost 4 years ago. He's 12, so he was 8. And Demi was 2 going on 3 because she was at the daycare. She's now in, I got her in Lutheran Elementary, Lutheran School, and David's in the 7th grade. So for the last 3.5 years, I've been raising and nourishing my grandchildren. Most of all, I've been loving me. See, I got a sponsor this time. Really, I'm into it. Behind the fact that I'm 66. So 4 years ago, I was 62. And I tell you what, I don't know what it was, but my HP had someone watching over me because I was in trap house, rap house, rat house, cat house, anybody in an owl house. And he seemed fit, my HP, to have someone to watch over me, to take me through right at the force of this stuff called COVID coming. Had no idea. So I chose to love me. And I'm not afraid to admit that 3 years ago, I found out what true love is. I got a relationship with my HP. I've been in, which I choose to call God. I've been in the church all my life, over 60 years. But the last 3 years, I learned to love me. I learned to know what a relationship is with the God of my understanding. Gave me great strength to endure all the sadness, the madness, and the craziness. You know, as an addict, coming down is not a fun way. And when you start to live, see, I mean, actually live life on life turn. I had to have something to guide me. Narcotics Anonymous sponsor. I believe today that people are put in your life at a time when it's supposed to be. Because this sponsor, I watched him, and I know women and men ain't supposed to, but I watched him over the years, and he's been great. See, the journey continued because the last year, guys, I made it through. Because it's February the 3rd on a Saturday, and I'm telling you guys my story. Almost 6 months ago, my daughter went into the doctor because in the emergency rooms and all hospitals for about 2 weeks, she had the cyst in her uterus, and it started to block, and it's starting to shut down every organ in her body, her kidneys, her liver. Make a long story short, the biopsy came back. It was one Thursday afternoon, my grandchildren in school, so me and my fur baby, Nora, are in my recliner. I just finished a meeting. I just finished talking to my HP, and I'm laid back, and my phone ring. And it's my youngest daughter. So I have two girls, 37 and 47. She goes, "Mama, Sandra biopsy is cancer." I said, "Wait, hold up, wait a minute." So I sat up and I said, "No, I'm dreaming." I kept saying that because the HP that I know, why do she have to go? I done lived already. Why couldn't it be me? And I had to stop. It took a week for me to question, and I kept questioning. Who am I to question him? Just go with the flow. My sponsor had got me to step six, and we were talking. For some reason, he kept calling me to make sure I was all right. And that came along, and I told him. Not only that, guys, that night I was talking to him about it. I light candles because I like the scent in my home and its tranquility, excuse me, and calmness. And I'm on the phone with him, and we're doing the step work. He's talking. We are all done with the step work. We're gonna get off the phone. And I'm smelling something. The kitchen table, a candle had caught on fire. It was at the end and it was on my table. I do not have a mark from where that fire was. And I put that fire out without any damage in my home. That was another thing. And I'm dealing with this with the cancer. I watched my daughter go from 200 pounds to 120. I had to bathe her. I had to take care of her. I went to her key, radiation. Now they have this radiation where it's really aggressive. So the moral of the story, last month they told her she don't have to come back. For 3 months, she rung the bell for chemo, and that radiation shrunk that tumor. I'm sorry, wasn't it just tumor? To it was the size of a lemon down to a grape, and they scraped it out. That's what that aggressive did. So, no need to pick up. Because everything would be worse. I had no thought of that. Only thought in the women and men on this meet that are nursing adult children or grandchildren. Know where I'm coming from. The thought of me being an addict did not even come in play because I know for the rest of my life, I am that. And it was just the force of being a matriarch, being that strength for her, because cancer affects the whole family. And we all pulled together. But of course, now she thinks she got the game and gone with it. So I'm going to see how this works out. But Nakata is enormous. Told me I'd never be alone. I never have to worry. I never have to worry about anything. As long as I don't pick up and I follow the suggestion that it too will pass. So I am so grateful, you know, sitting back and looking back on my life. I was about 6 years or 7 years old, and my addiction started then when I went in the store and took a candy bar because I didn't have no money. So I knew if I put it away, nobody would see it. And that started when I was 18. I wanted to be flying fast, so I was boosting. I'm not glorifying, I'm just saying how my life, I was addicted. When I was a kid, because I wanted the lifestyle that I've seen around me. My mother, my stepfather was a drug dealer and he got killed. My oldest daughter dad was a drug dealer. He got killed. So, you know, back in them days, I was doing a little here and there, snorting, smoking, drinking, but it wasn't a problem. Until I made it a problem. Till I start losing myself. I start losing materialistic value thing. I start losing my family. I start losing my mind. That's when it was, I knew I was something different. And I couldn't put my finger on it. Until I started and couldn't stop. That day, I found out I was addicted. I'm an addict and I need help. Somebody, please help me because I couldn't do this by myself. Please help me. You know, you got to be careful what you ask for. So those 18 years went on by. And then, like I said, at the end of the 1814, I did everything, but I can't remember some of the things because it wasn't that important. It was just that I wanted to prove to my husband and my job, which I must tell you, ladies and gentlemen, that I did retire from my job of 32 years of doing quality control for 32 stores. I worked at six of them a day. I retired when I went into the, they found me and COVID came along. So the business had to shut down anyway. So last year, they gave me my money. They gave me retirement, Social Security benefits. My boss and them was what I was fighting for, that 14 out of the 18. The last four, I just didn't pick up. But I didn't do nothing that was suggested to take care of my disease. So when that happened with my brother and my sister, that was my bottom. So when I came back around and someone found me and I went through all that I went through, I just want to be me. I want to know who me is. I want to love her. I want to care for her. And the days just went by, guys. Right to 4 years today and 3 days. Because every day, I've not missed a meeting or two or three or four. And I do service work. And when my sponsor call, I answer. When another sister or brother in the program, and even people that's not in the program, call and tell me what's going on with them. Most of all, I listen. Because sometimes if you just listen to a person, they're able to solve their own dilemma. But, hey, no, Steve, no, I fought this thing right with tooth and nail. I fought it right up to the day. And it took one day at a time. And it take me wanting to be willing to turn over my life to a care of a God that I understand. My HP to Narcotics Anonymous, to a sponsor, to strangers that know me because we connected from a disease, that we are victorious to be here. We are privileged. When they say Zoom, Zoom baby, I like all over the world. I attend meetings the other night in New Zealand. What about that? I even go to California, I go to New York. I'm all over the place, guys. But we all had ended up at this one meeting, Steve attending the day. And all of a sudden, it started people going their own way because of government. And they said nobody governs these meetings, but everybody wanted to do it their own way. But I have to let you guys know, yes, there's a bud in there because I stuck and I stayed to keep that meeting going 5 days a week. Now it's down to Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. And it's just two other people with me. I would not let go of what was so freely given to me right here virtual on a platform. And I became the one that everybody asks, what should we do and how? And I'm getting ready to go into prisons and do a lot of things in this program. But I had to make sure that I'm okay. Because we can get so tied up. See, this program going to be here as long as you work and don't pick up. All the service work, it took me right here 4 years, and I'm ready to do H and I can't remember right offhand, but someone was talking to me about that Friday. H, where you going to prison? And I told him I'll get back with him. I'll probably do it, but I'm not going to jump on it right now because I'm doing meetings, two virtual meeting that I open, and I can't get tied up in this and forget about me and mines. Because long as I keep my sponsor close to me, I do the book work. Even when it's hard, you had to pick that book up and read it. Because some of them stories, ooh, and the journey continue. And with my HP, I read four out of the Bible a day. And I just love waking up now. At first, I will pull the cover over my head. I ain't want to see daylight. The nightlife, y'all, come on, let's go. Now I love it. I love the nightlife, looking at the moons, the stars, how Mother Nature created things. See, life is what you make it. And with Narcotics Anonymous, I'm making the best out of one day at a time. So if you're new here, please take some suggestions. Someone close to you can see more of what you're doing than you will yourself. If you're new here, stick and stay. If nobody told you they love you, I love you today. And I want to thank you guys again. I don't know how much time that was, Steve, but I don't want to run over. I don't know how much I have left.
You good, Valerie?
I'm good.
Whatever you're comfortable with, girl.
All right, I'm gonna let it go and let it open so I can get on the roll. I pulled over because I'm doing some things with my grandson David. This is what Narcotics Anonymous allows me to do today. Spend time, quality time with my family. So he is back there in the back seat when I'm at home and I'm on my computer or my tablet during a meeting. They listen. He is watch you. And so I'm glad he can see some of the things that keep his grandmother going day by day. Because he's seen my self-destruct. Now he sees the self improvement. If nobody told you guys, I love you and thank you again, Steve. I love you so much. Thank you for walking by me, sticking by me, and being by me. And thank you for thinking enough about me to begin a new journey and to share it here. I appreciate you so much. And if nobody told you guys they love you, I love you. If you're new, please keep coming back. It does work. Thank you. I'm Valerie, that grateful recovering addict. Thank you for letting me share. Thanks, Steve.